Good morning. It's good to be with you all again this morning. I want to take just a moment to express my appreciation for the chance to be with you all and very much looking forward to working with the group here. If you have any questions or comments about any of the preaching that's done here, please feel free to ask or let me know. If you're not able to get a hold of me here, my number is on the front page of the bulletin. Feel free to give me a call. I can also give you my email, but please feel free to ask if you have any questions about anything, and please don't ever believe anything that's preached here just because I said it, but if it's something that God teaches in His Word, then we'd encourage you to believe it and accept it, and if it's something that's not from God's Word, then please point that out and help us to get that corrected, and so that we can make sure that what we're teaching here and practicing here is according to God's Word. If you have anyone that you would like me to talk to concerning their spiritual condition, please feel free to let me know. And if you have any suggestions or requests for topics that you'd like to study or texts you'd like to study, please let me know that as well. And I'd be happy to try to work that in. The Bible reading schedule that's in the bulletin is one that I received from a preacher in Kentucky, Ron Halbrook. It's designed to get through the Bible in a year. There's one passage from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament each day. And if you follow that schedule through the Bible in a year, I'll be following that schedule myself, so there may be some lessons that tie in with the reading for a given week. So that might be a benefit if you happen to use that Bible reading schedule. But again, I appreciate the chance to preach here and to work in this area. And if you have any questions or comments, just please feel free to let me know. I want to talk this morning for a few minutes about the topic of judging righteously. In John chapter 7 and in verse 24, Jesus there was speaking and he said, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." We'll come back to this statement in a few minutes and talk about some things that we can learn about judging righteously there from that context. But I first just want to take a step back and talk about the significance of judging as it's presented in Scripture. If you look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, this is a passage that we often hear quoted, says, "Judge not that you be not judged." And if you look then at Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, and just the first part of that verse for now, says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest." If we just take bits and pieces of the Bible and ignore the context and ignore the complete picture of what the Bible says on a subject, we can convince ourselves that the Bible says almost anything that we want it to say. But to understand the complete picture of what the Bible has to say, we have to look at context and we have to look at everything that the Bible says on a subject and not just pick out bits and pieces. And that's very well exemplified when it comes to judging. There are a lot of individuals who turn to passages like Matthew 7:1 and say, "See, that passage points out that we're not supposed to be judging." But what that ignores, number one, is the context of the passage, but it also ignores the entire picture of what the Bible has to say when it comes to judging. It's true that we're not to judge others in the sense that we don't decide what's right and wrong ourselves, and it's true that we don't judge others in the sense that we don't determine who goes to heaven and who goes to hell, but at the same time, we do judge others at times in the sense that God requires us at times to make judgment calls about individuals and their actions, and we'll look at a number of examples of that here this morning. Notice there in Matthew chapter 7, in the same sermon in which Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged," down at verses 15 and 16 of that chapter, Matthew chapter 7, he says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves." And notice verse 16, he says, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" And so Jesus here is talking about us making a judgment call. How do we distinguish between those sheep and those false prophets who he describes as wolves? The way that we distinguish them, we have to make a judgment call on our part, as Jesus references there in that same sermon where he talks about judging and says, "Judge not that you be not judged." Later on in the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, verses 15 through 17. There Jesus talks about a situation where a brother trespasses against us, and he says, "If that happens, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone, and if he shall hear thee, you've gained your brother. But if we stop and think about that for a minute, when he says, if a brother trespasses against you, how are we going to know someone's trespassed against us unless we do some judging on our part? We have to make judgment calls for us to know whether or not someone's trespassed against us. He goes on to talk about bringing one or two witnesses with us, that by the mouth of two or three, every word may be established. And so those two or three are going to have to make judgment calls. And if he neglects to hear those two or three, then Jesus says, tell it to the church. And so the church is going to have to make a judgment call. And he says, if he fails to hear the church, then he shall be to thee as a heathen man and a publican. Everything Jesus is talking about there requires us to be judging in that situation. And so there's situations in which God requires us to judging, and judging is necessary. And we need to recognize that as we talk about judging. And we also need to recognize that God's intention when he gives us instruction to judge certain individuals concerning certain things, his intention is not for this to be a bad thing, but rather for this to be a good thing. And that's really how we should look at judging. When we think about someone pointing out error in our own lives, we should look at that not as a bad thing, but really as a good thing. If you look at Proverbs chapter 15, and in verse 32, there it says, he that refuseth instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. He says, those people who respond to constructive criticism by refusing it and rejecting it, those are individuals who despise their soul. They despise their soul in the sense that they are rejecting an opportunity to improve themselves and to help work out their soul salvation. It says those individuals who listen to instruction, listen to reproof, listen to rebuke, those individuals can gain from that, can gain understanding and wisdom from that. And so really, when we are judged, we shouldn't look at it as a bad thing, but really we should look at it as a good thing. In Revelation 3:19, when Jesus there was speaking to the angel of the church at Laodicea, the lukewarm church, he told them they needed to get on fire for the Lord. Don't be lukewarm, but get on fire for the Lord. Be zealous and repent. But notice what he says just before he says that they need to repent. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And so Jesus was pointing out, I'm not saying this because I hate you. It's really the exact opposite of that. I'm saying this because I love you. I'm not saying this to try to tear you down. I'm saying this to try to build you up. And so the judging that Jesus was doing there on that occasion was something that was a good thing. And really, judging when it's done right is a good thing and shouldn't be viewed as a bad thing. But the reason that perhaps our society often views judging as a bad thing is not because it is, but it's because probably most people and probably most everyone in this room at one time or another in our lives has been judged unrighteously. And we can all probably think of situations when that's happened. And because of that, that may cause us as a society to become very defensive when we are judged and immediately assume that we're going to be judged unrighteously. But the problem when we're judged unrighteously is not that judging was being done. The problem is that unrighteous judgment was being done. And we need to distinguish between those two things and realize it's not judging that's bad, but rather it's unrighteous judgment that is bad. And that's what Jesus referenced there in John 7:24, when he says, you're going to need to judge, but do so righteously. And so for the rest of this morning's sermon, I want to look at some things that are necessary for us to do if we're going to be judging righteously. And I first just want to look back at that passage in John 7 and notice what Jesus was referring to. When he said, don't judge according to the appearance, he was talking about gathering all of the facts and thoughtfully considering all of those facts. In John chapter 7 and verse 1, it points out that Jesus hadn't been walking in the area of Jerusalem because there were some there who were seeking to kill him. And the reason they were seeking to kill him, if we go back to chapter 5, they were angry at him for healing a man on the Sabbath day. And when he talks about not judging according to the appearance, the context in which he says this, he's showing these Jewish leaders how hypocritical they are in their judgment and how they're not really thinking this through. Because he says, if you stop and think about this, a male child is to be circumcised on the eighth day. And if that eighth day happens to fall on the Sabbath day, you'll go ahead and circumcise that child. Now, isn't it just as much work? Couldn't it be considered work just as much to circumcise a child as to heal a man on the Sabbath day of an infirmity, of being lame, and make him whole? And the point Jesus was making is you're not really thinking this through. You're drawing conclusions based on snap judgments and making assumptions, and you're not really thinking this through and giving a fair trial to Jesus. And as a result, they were coming to the incorrect conclusion. If you notice verse 23 there of John 7, he says, "If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I've made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day?" Pointing out you're not considering all of the facts here and thinking about how you yourselves will do things necessary on the Sabbath day to keep the law of Moses. So how much more should I be willing to do good things on the Sabbath day to keep the will of God? And so Jesus was pointing out you're not really considering all of the facts here. Later on in the chapter in verses 41 and 42, when there were some speaking up saying, "This is the Christ," others were saying, "Should Christ come out of Galilee?" Though they were looking at Jesus as someone who spent most of his childhood in Galilee and saying, well, surely he can't be the Christ because of that, because the scriptures teach that the Christ is supposed to come out of Bethlehem. And it's true that the scriptures teach that the Christ was to come out of Bethlehem. Micah 5:2 points that out. But they weren't gathering all of the facts. If they were gathering all of the facts, they would have realized that Jesus was born in Bethlehem according to Matthew 2:1, and thereby he fulfilled that prophecy about the Messiah. But the point was that these individuals here who were judging Jesus, they weren't really gathering all of the facts. Instead of asking him, well, are you the Christ? Because these passages say the Christ is supposed to come out of Bethlehem. So how does that fit in with you? Instead of asking him about that, they thought they already had all the answers, and they drew conclusions based on what they knew with very limited information. And this is something that's very easy to do. We see this happen a lot. Sometimes we have a lot of stories that come out in the media, and sometimes I'll read two people's reactions to these stories, and these two people will be on completely different sides. One will say, well, this must have happened. And another person will say, well, this must have happened. And you think, how can two people read the same account and be so far apart on their perception of it? And a lot of times it's because both of them are making a lot of assumptions, and both of them are filling in blanks where they really don't know that what they think happened really happened. They just assume that they did, and they assume that they have all the answers. And that's a lot like what these people here were doing with Jesus. They thought, well, this man, we know he's from Galilee and not Bethlehem, instead of stopping and gathering all of the facts and then drawing conclusions based upon that. But later in that chapter, down at verse 51, Nicodemus spoke up there to his fellow Pharisees and Jewish leaders, and he says, "Does our law judge any man before it hears him and knows what he does?" And this really gets at the crux of judging with thoughtful consideration of the facts. We need to gather all the facts that are available, and then we need to thoughtfully consider all those facts and then draw our conclusion. And a lot of people get that backwards. A lot of people draw a conclusion first and then get bits and pieces of information and turn those bits and pieces of information and twist it in a way that makes it sound like it supports their conclusion they've already drawn. And we have to be very careful about that we gather the facts first before we judge a situation, especially when dealing with individuals and their spiritual condition. Up at verse 48 of that chapter, in John chapter 7, we see what the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders, how they viewed the need to judge. Instead of really listening to Jesus and giving him a fair trial, instead they asked the question, "Have any of the rulers or Pharisees believed on him?" This was their standard for judging, was, well, we're all the people who know the law, and so what do we think about this Jesus? They didn't even ask Jesus anything. They just asked, well, what do we all think about this Jesus? If we all agree that he's a false teacher, and they really didn't, but if they did, then he must be a false teacher. That was their conclusion. And so they weren't gathering all the facts. Instead, they were simply looking to each other, and they were looking to each other's opinions and thoughts rather than looking to the law of God, which is the next point we want to make about judging righteously, is that we need to be judging according to God's law and not according to man's biases. There are several contexts in which God talks about the need for us to judge according to his law, not according to our own biases. One of these is in Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter 14, the Holy Spirit through Paul deals with this question of meat that's been sacrificed to idols, which, and the question of whether or not one should eat that meat. And Paul pointed out there's nothing sinful with eating that meat that's been sacrificed to idols. God never said it was a sin, so there's nothing sinful in that. But he points out there's some situations when that might have a negative influence on others. And so for those individuals who realize that there's nothing sinful with eating meat that's been sacrificed to idols, if they know that it's going to be a bad influence on someone else, then they should take that into consideration and say, I want to do what's most profitable for this person, rather than just thinking, I'm going to do what I want to do and nobody can tell me it's wrong. And Paul addresses that throughout this chapter, but he also talks to the person who maybe is offended by something like that. The person who has something that isn't sinful, but it is something that wounds their conscience or something that is a bad influence on them, something they might be offended by. He talks to those individuals and says, in your situation, it's okay to bring that up and say, look, this is difficult for me. It's a bad influence for me. If you would be so kind as to please not do this, I would appreciate it. That's fine, but that person shouldn't be judging the one who eats as being in sin for that, because God's not said that it's a sin. Notice verse 3 of Romans 14. It says, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And then he goes on to say, let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. In other words, those individuals who have a problem with eating this meat shouldn't be looking at those who don't have a problem eating this meat and say, well, they're in sin because of that. Because only God has the authority to say what is sin and what is not. And God's not said that it's sinful to eat meat that's been sacrificed to idols. And so it's important that when we judge others, that we don't do so according to our own biases and our own thoughts and our own ideas, but instead we do so according to the law of God. In James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, I'll read just verse 12, but verse 11 ties in with this. But here he talks about unrighteous judgment, and notice what he says in verse 12 of this chapter, James chapter 4. He says, there is one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? And this is another passage that requires us to take things we know from other passages to try to draw conclusions as to what's being said. But when he says there's one lawgiver, I believe what he's getting at is there were some Christians there that James was writing to who appear to be coming up with their own ideas of what's right and what's wrong and judging others based upon their own ideas. And the Holy Spirit through James was saying, there's just one lawgiver. Don't put yourself in God's place and think that you have the right to decide what's right and what's wrong. Only God has that authority, and only God's law should be the basis for our judgment rather than our own thoughts and our own biases. And this can be very difficult sometimes, because there's a lot of things that might seem wrong to us, and we might hear about it and think, well, that just sounds like something that's not right. But in reality, it's not something that God has said is sinful. And we have to be very careful that we distinguish between something that just doesn't seem right to us and something that God has said is sinful in His Word. In Acts chapter 15, there's a passage where there were some Jewish Christians who dealt with this. There were some Jewish Christians who thought that Gentile Christians needed to be circumcised and keep parts of the law of Moses in order to be right with God. And this seemed to make sense to them, because they had a very different background than probably most of us do. We maybe don't struggle near as much with that as these people would, but these were people who were raised as Jews, raised and taught that you needed to be circumcised and you needed to keep the law of Moses. And now they're learning about Christ and converting to Christianity. And to them, it seems like, well, surely to be pleasing to God, Gentiles also need to be circumcised. And they also need to be brought under the law of Moses, or at least parts of it. And that just seemed like something that made sense to them. And so the apostles and some of the elders of Jerusalem came together and talked about this, talked about how to handle this. And they looked at direct statements from God. They looked at examples that God had given, such as the example of Cornelius. They looked at some things that God had inferred when Paul and Barnabas were teaching Gentiles. And based on this, they drew the conclusion that God didn't require Gentiles to be circumcised in order to be right with Him. And so they wrote a letter to Gentile Christians later on in the chapter. And I'm going to read verse 24 to emphasize something that's said here. This is a part of that letter that was written to these Gentile Christians. It says there, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. The last part of that verse is very key. These are the apostles speaking. The apostles were inspired by the Holy Spirit to teach doctrine, to teach God's will. And they say, we gave no such commandment. This came from their own thoughts, their own ideas, their own biases. This was not a commandment that came from God. And so sometimes things can seem wrong to us that when we look at the Bible, we find really it's not something that God has said is sinful. It doesn't mean that we should go ahead and do it ourselves. If it wounds our conscience or it goes against our conscience, then and we want to stay away from it, that's a good idea. But when we look at other people engaging in that, we can't say that they're sinning just because they're doing something that seems wrong to us. Only God has the authority to say what's sinful and what's not sinful. And if they're doing something that God says is sinful, then they're sinning. If they're not doing something God said sinful, then they're not. And we need to remember that God is the lawgiver and not try to take his place and determine right and wrong based on our own thoughts and our own ideas. But another thing that we need to consider in order to make sure that we judge righteously is that we need to humbly consider ourselves when we're judging righteously. And this really brings us back to those passages that we looked at in the opening, not passages, but verses we looked at in the opening, where Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged." This is what these passages are really getting at, is the need for humility when we're judging, the need to look at ourselves, the need to not judge hypocritically. Notice Matthew 7, we'll read the whole five verses this time to better understand what Jesus is saying. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 1, he says, "Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye?" Notice verse 5, he says, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." And so Jesus here is warning against hypocrisy. He's saying, get rid of your own sin first, and then you can see clearly to help others get rid of their sin. He's not saying don't judge at all. He's saying don't do so in a way that's hypocritical. And Romans 2, 1 through 3 is making the same point. The scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day struggled a lot with this. They were people who taught some of the truth, some of what they taught came from their own traditions and their own ideas. Some of what they taught was correct, though, because they did know the law pretty well. And so some of what they taught was correct. And Jesus said in Matthew 23, what they tell you to do, that observe and do. But he also said, don't do after their works, because he says, these are a people who say and do not. And he goes on to say in Matthew 23 and verse 4, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves won't move them with one of their fingers. So in other words, these are people who can turn to others and say, you need to do this and you need to do this, and they can see sins in others, but they won't apply those same principles to themselves. And so they were judging hypocritically, they were judging proudly, they were judging without considering the sin in their own lives. And we have to be very careful about that. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 talks about a situation where there's a brother or sister in Christ who's overtaken in a fault. And the Holy Spirit through Paul says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. But he says, do so in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. In other words, he's saying, next time it could be you. And so don't do it in a way that's condescending. Don't belittle them. Don't act like you're above them in any way. But do so with humility and recognize you're not immune to sin either. And it could be you next time. And we're all just here on earth to try to help each other work out our soul salvation instead of thinking that we're above someone because we notice some sin that we think, well, I've never done that. But we're not better than them just because of that. We need to recognize we're not immune to sin either. And next time it might be us who's in the situation where we need to have our sins pointed out. And so it's important for us to humbly consider ourselves in order to judge righteously. And then one last point we want to make about judging righteously is that we need to have the proper motive. And that motivation needs to be love. If you look at John chapter 8, we see an example of individuals who were judging without this motivation. They were judging for purely selfish reasons rather than for out of love. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. Here Jesus has some scribes and Pharisees who come to him, and they bring a woman who was taken in adultery and set her in the midst. And they ask Jesus, they say, what should we do with this woman? They say, Moses commanded us that she should be stoned, but what do you say? And they could have been asking this question with sincerity, but we know that they weren't, because in verse 6, it says there, they asked this question tempting Jesus, that they might have to accuse him. And if we stop and think about this, this mindset that these scribes and Pharisees had here, here was a woman, a precious soul, a human being, and instead of looking at her in that way and wanting to know what was right for her, what was right toward God, instead these people were essentially using this lady as a way of trying to tempt Jesus just to accuse him. It just shows just how selfish they were that they could take someone and ask about whether or not they should stone her to death, and they really didn't even care about doing what was right. They simply were trying to tempt the one who they were asking and trying to get something that they might have to accuse him. It shows just how selfish these individuals were. But Jesus shows how loving he is in response to that, because he tells them in response, he says, "He that is without sin, cast the first stone." And one by one, they walk out from the oldest to the youngest, being convicted by their own conscience. And Jesus then turns to this lady and says, "Where are your accusers? Does no one condemn you?" And she says, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Now, Jesus here wasn't condoning sin. He wasn't condoning adultery. But what he was condoning was repentance and subsequent forgiveness. He was condoning doing what God requires us to do to receive forgiveness of sins and being forgiven. That's what Jesus wanted for this woman. That's what Jesus wants for all of us. He wants us, when we see things in his word that's pointed out that we need to correct, the point is just to try to help us make corrections so that we can be forgiven and so that we can receive salvation. And that needs to be our motivation as well when we judge others. We should be very quick to forgive them. Peter asked Jesus in Matthew 18, "How often should I forgive my brother? What's the maximum limit?" He says, "Is it 7 times? And Jesus says, "No, it's 70 times 7. And his point was, there is no limit. You be willing to forgive your brother however much is necessary. And if you're not willing to do that, then your heavenly Father won't be willing to forgive you, he says in Matthew 6, 14 and 15. And so we need to be very quick to forgive when we reach out to others. And that really stems from having the right motivation. If we judge others to try to put them down or to try to win an argument, to try to show them that we're right and they're wrong, then we're not going to be very eager to forgive them, because that really wasn't the point of us pointing things out to them. We were pointing things out to them for selfish reasons. But if we truly have that motivation of love, then we're going to want to forgive. We're going to want them to do exactly what God requires of them and receive forgiveness, and we're going to be overjoyed when they do that. And that really stems from having this right motivation when we judge. And so as we come back to Jesus' point to not judge according to the appearance, but to judge righteous judgment, there's a lot that goes into that. But we need to recognize it's not judging that's a bad thing. It's judging unrighteously that's a bad thing. And that's what we need to make sure we stay away from, is judging unrighteously. And that requires us to be very careful about the way in which we judge, to gather all the facts, to consider all the facts, to consider our own sin and not be judging hypocritically, and to judge with love, and to make sure we're judging according to God's law, not according to our own thoughts and our own ideas. And when we do this, we can be people who judge righteously, as Jesus said we should. There may be some here this morning who aren't yet children of God. You might yet been baptized for the remission of your sins to get into Christ. And if you're in that situation, we'd encourage you to be baptized for the remission of your sins this morning. Not because any of us have the authority to determine how to get into Christ or to determine how to receive forgiveness of sins, but God tells us in his word that that's what's necessary. It's necessary for us to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, confess that, repent of our sins, and be buried in baptism for the remission of our sins. And if you've not yet done that, we would encourage you to do so this morning. Or if you have done that, but you're struggling with something else in your life that you would like to ask for the prayers of the congregation, we can help you with that as well. Whatever your need may be, won't you come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.